Okay, so here we are.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's up?
Not
We're
much.
not looking at each other today.
No, looking away from you. Don't
I know.
even think about looking at me.
We're sitting next to each other.
Yeah. Where are we?
We're in your room.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Emily. Who are you?
I'm Marguerite.
And that's Delilah at the foot of the bed.
Yes, wagging her tail.
She's truly wagging her tail right now.
She does it. That's what she does.
It's so funny. She looks like a little long sausage right now. She's got her legs tucked, like her front legs tucked in underneath her chin. She's just like fully relaxed.
So cozy.
We love her.
What is this?
This is Millennial Poet Society.
Not the Percast, like you might have thought.
No, it's no Stephen Ray Morris here. Instead, we have a do-it-all Marguerite.
That's me. Yeah,
And we are Millennial Poet Society, and we are a poetry podcast where we each week bring in a few poets that we maybe just heard of or that we have known for a while and want to share with you guys. And we talk poetry, we talk life, everything in between. And we're really glad that you decided to click on our podcast today.
thanks for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, Delilah just looked at us like, yes, I am here.
You're welcome, she says.
Well,
Thank you, Delilah.
thank you, Delilah. We have a little bit of an announcement too. This is going to be our last episode for until the new year
That's right,
for 29.
2020.
Yeah, for 2019, it's our last episode. We are going to be
Yeah.
taking a little holiday break. Because life gets a little crazy around the holidays.
Sure does.
And
This year we're splitting up. We have been together like for the new year. I mean, we'll
well,
technically
for New
be
Year's, we'll
for
be
New Year's, but
together.
like we will just be getting back in town. And so unfortunately, there won't be enough time to get out a new podcast for you guys before 2020. But we are really looking forward to all the new stuff we have going on in the new year, especially the Who's to Say episodes. Always send us your stuff, and Marg can tell us how you can submit for those.
Yeah, so send your submissions for Who's to Say episodes. Those are our shorter episodes that we release on Tuesdays when we are in our Who's to Say season. They come out on Tuesdays. There are many episodes where we share one published or self-published or unpublished poet per week. And and we do that by receiving submissions. So send us your stuff. We want to see them. You can email it to millennialpoetssociety@gmail.com. You can find that email address on our Instagram page or our Facebook or in the notes right under this episode, wherever you found it. But on Instagram, you can search for MPS underscore podcast and follow us and click on the contact or email button. And then on Facebook, just search for Millennial Poets Society. And we will be there, and you'll find it in our little about section.
Yeah.
So go ahead and send those things over. We're really excited about the things that we have received, and can't wait to read even more so that we can get Who's to Say season two up and running.
Yes, very excited about that. We
Very.
always love reading your work and learning about you guys, and it's just like a fun way for us to connect with our listeners and with new artists and writers. And oh my God.
Delilah just stretched so big.
She like sat straight up. It was really cute. Sorry you missed it, guys. Anyway, so I think that's the business, but what have you been up to? How's your week going?
It's going all right. It's only Tuesday. I've got a little bit of a sniffly situation happening.
Yeah.
Some sniffles. It's me this time.
I
For the
know.
past like 4 months, it's been you.
Four months. Truly, it's been one cold after another, and now it's your turn.
My turn apparently. But yeah, I got that going on, gearing up for office parties and holiday season,
It really
and
is holiday season.
it is truly, truly got all the holiday gifts happening and holiday cards and just everything. So, but it's going well. We're making it happening. We're making it happen.
Making it happen. what are you doing for the holidays? What are you doing?
I'm going home.
Yeah?
Yeah. Going home upstate. And that's what I'm doing. It's really nice because this is the first year since we've moved that I haven't worked a retail job at the holiday time. And so I have more than 48 hours that I get to go home for, which is incredible. True. I'm going to be home for a full week. I'm going to be home for 8 days because I go home on the Sunday and I come back on the 31st, 30th. How many days are in December?
31st.
That's whatever New Year's Eve. Monday. I come back on the Monday. So
Monday the 30th.
Eve. Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing. What are you going to be up to?
I am also going home. I'm going home for like 10 days, 9 days.
That's so nice.
It is going to be great. I'm very much looking forward to it. Also, a fun thing is that today is my grandma's 100th birthday.
That is crazy. It's so Tuesday insane. The 10th.
Tuesday the 10th, December 10th. She is 100 years old. A whole insane. Century. Like, that's insane.
Happy birthday.
I called her today and she could actually hear me on the phone, which was amazing. That never happens. But she's got really good hearing aids now. But so she
happy birthday to her, new hearing aids.
Yes, truly. But so she's like, I am so overwhelmed with cards and visits that she's like, the mailman's been here 3 times today and he keeps laughing because there's so much mail and our town is so small. It's like he can come drop things off as they come in basically. But yeah, she turned 100 years old and got like so many cards, so many birthday wishes, both in person and online. And
is she online?
No. But like my mom and my cousins and I and some people have like posted about it and stuff. And she's just a truly phenomenal, incredible woman that it's so great to get to celebrate this with her. And that's when I was amazing. Home last, we went out to dinner and like sang to her and she got a chance to like celebrate while I was there, which was fun. But today's the big day. So happy birthday, Grandma Lou.
Happy birthday.
We love you. Wow. Everybody wish her a big happy birthday if you can. I think we should probably get this show on the road, don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Get this party rolling.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's my turn because this is episode 37.
Insane.
Insane.
So crazy.
Delilah, how many toes do you have? Less than 37.
I hope so.
My poet this week is Mark Halliday.
Cool.
Yeah. I found him on none other than the Poetry Foundation.
Amazing. Where else would you find anyone?
Right? And, let me tell you a little bit about him.
Please do.
He was born in 1949 in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He is an American poet, professor, and critic. He's the author of 7 collections of poetry, most recently Losers Dream On, published in 2018. Though he was born in Ann Arbor, Halliday grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Westport, Connecticut, 2 very different places.
Yes.
He earned his BA and MA from Brown University and has a PhD from Brandeis University.
Nice.
I've seen both of these campuses, actually. My sister, smarty pants that she is, was looking into those schools for undergrad. And so we took like a tour of Brown's campus and Brandeis' campus. And they're both like beautiful, just like Brown is truly like that's what I think of when I think of a like traditional college campus.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. Anyway. So he's very educated.
Super educated.
He was influenced by New York school poets Kenneth Koch and Frank O'Hara. Halliday writes, quote, disarmingly accessible and humorous poems that use conversational markers to lead the reader on nuanced metaphysical, postmodern, and personal explorations, according to Poetry Foundation. That's a lot to put on a poet, but I really do see a lot of that in this poem that I want to read for you guys today. That he's, it's like, it's very much, it's almost alarming how like accessible and real the situations are. Like it's almost cinematic. And so I'm excited.
Wow. Very cool.
The New Yorker has also praised Halliday's work, claiming he is a Walt Whitman in a supermarket, a confessional poet who does not take himself very seriously. Always good. Don't take yourself too seriously.
No.
His honors include serving as the 1994 poet in residence at the Frost Place, inclusion in several annual editions of the Best American Poetry Series and of the Pushcart Prize anthology, and receiving a 2006 Guggenheim Fellowship.
Guggenheim.
He also won the 2001 Rome Prize for the American Academy of Arts and Letters.
Arts and letters.
He taught English literature and writing at Wellesley College, the University of Pennsylvania, Western Michigan University, and Indiana University. Since 1996, he has taught at Ohio University in Athens, where in 2012 he was awarded the rank of Distinguished Professor. He lives in Athens, Ohio, with his wife, poet J. Allen Rosser. He has a son, Nicholas, from his first marriage, and a daughter named Devon. His published works include Little Star, published in 1987, Tasker Street from 1992, Self Wolf from 1999, Jab from 2002, Keep This Forever, 2008, Thesherphobe, 2013, and Losers Dream On, 2018. So that's all I have on him. He seems to live like a fairly private life. Like he's got all these awards and accolades, but he decides to keep to himself. And there are some really great articles about him, but for the most part, it's just that information sort of like repeated on itself.
Uh-huh. And
then people telling their own opinions on like why they like his work and stuff.
Yeah.
So this poem I want to read is called Divorced Fathers and Pizza Crust. And it's from Jab. And this is it. The connection between divorced fathers and pizza crusts is understandable. The divorced father does not cook confidently. He wants his kid to enjoy dinner. The entire weekend is supposed to be fun. Kids love pizza. For some reason involving soft warmth and malleability, kids approve of melted cheese on pizza years before they would tolerate cheese in other situations. So the divorced father takes the kid and the kid's friend out for pizza. The kids eat much faster than the dad. Before the dad has finished his second slice, the kids are playing a video game or being Ace Ventura or blowing spitballs through straws, making this hail that can't quite be cleaned up. There are four slices left, and the divorced father doesn't want them wasted. There has been enough waste already. He sits there, in his windbreaker, finishing the pizza. It's good, except the crust is actually not so great. After the second slice, the crust is basically a chore, so you leave it. You move on to the next loaded slice. Finally, there you are, amidst rims of crust. All this is understandable. There's no dark conspiracy. Meanwhile, the kids are having a pretty good time, which is the whole point. So the entire evening makes clear sense. Now the divorced father gathers the sauce-stained napkins for the trash and dumps them, and dumps the rims of crust, which are not corpses on a battlefield. Understandability fills the pizza shop so thoroughly, there's no room for anything else. Now he's at the door summoning the kids, and they follow. Of course they do. He's a dad.
Huh.
I just really liked that. I found it to be an incredibly vivid picture and just so kind of like bracingly honest.
Uh-huh.
That I found it charming and so sad.
Yeah.
Also, like, but just like completely like, not necessarily, like, I can see how it would be relatable.
Yeah.
I did not have these experiences,
right.
But I can totally see them being relatable to somebody who may have gone through these situations. Like, yeah. Like the inferences that he makes that like dads, divorced dads and pizza crusts go together. Like that makes total sense in my mind.
Yeah.
Like I have these memories of like hanging out with one of my friends from elementary school, and her parents were going through a divorce, and she mostly stayed when I was with her. I lived closer to her dad, and we would go over for dinner, and like it would just be like sometimes he would cook, but most of the time it was just like pizza takeout, and it's yeah. or like something like that. And you know, it was always so fun to be that kid that got invited over to like have dinner with your friend and you get pizza.
Yeah.
But to see it from this other perspective, from the dad who's like, God, I don't want this to go to waste, and like everything else has already been wasted, and it just like I have to keep eating, and
it's
just
like I want them to have fun. Yeah, it's like pizza. So yeah, they're having pizza. They're having fun.
It's like you've suddenly lost all ability to relate to this child that you've lived with and raised and is part of you for X amount of years before your divorce. That like now you're seeing them only on the weekends, and it's this like stranger child that you're like, okay, like me, just like be happy, and what can I do to make your life easier, because I'm sorry, I'm so sorry all the time, you know, like it's just, I just found that to be such an honest and present thought in the back, like the background of this poem, that it was just very striking, and I really enjoyed it. That's Mark Halliday and his poem Divorced Fathers and Pizza Crusts.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
No problem. Anytime.
Anytime.
Except next week and the week after.
Except not anytime. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then it'll be my turn.
Sweet.
Awesome. All right. Delilah has graced us with her closer presence so that we may pet her.
Back again, back again.
Back again. All right, so it's my turn, and I've got a couple poets, not a lot of information on either of them.
Amazing.
So we'll get through it right quick.
Right quick.
Right quick. So my first poet is Marjorie Sager, or Sager? I think it's probably Sager. So she is an author. She's written 6 books of poetry, which include The Woman in the Moon, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's her most recent one in 2018, published in 2018. Beside You at the Stoplight, published in 2010. And Road Chip, published in 2003. And she's the co-editor of 2 anthologies. So those are just some of her selections.
Mm-hmm.
Her work has been published in American Life in Poetry, Nimrod, Rattle.com, Poetry Magazine, Rhino, Chattahoochee, Poetry East, Poetry Or, and others. She received the Willa Award and nominations for the Pushcart Prize. Her poetry has been published in U.S. Poet Laureate Ted Kooser. Yeah, column, American Life in Poetry, which we talked about. My poet last week also had poems that were published in his collections. And she now lives in Nebraska. And that's what I have about her.
Sweet.
That was her bio on Poetry Foundation, her bio on her own website. Like, that's all there was.
Love it.
So, that's what we...
Short, sweet, and to the point, Marjorie.
Yeah.
Marjorie?
I think it's Marjorie.
Sorry.
That's not how you spell Marjorie, is it?
I don't know.
Marjorie's with a G.
And there's
it's
also...
Marjorie.
But there's an R.
Marjorie.
M-A-R? Marjorie.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm saying, yeah, this is not Marjorie.
Doesn't that say Marjorie?
Oh. The way I wrote it, it's not Marjorie.
So, I don't know. I didn't do her poems, but...
This is Marjorie Sager, not Marjorie.
Sorry.
I could have sworn I, like, copy and pasted her name.
Whatever.
Well, no. I mean, I want to say her name right.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, we got it right eventually.
Eventually.
Oh, she's smiling.
So this is Marjorie. That's so funny because I looked at like 5 different websites for her.
That's so weird.
That's really weird.
Maybe she goes by either.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I doubt it, but
Marjorie. Well,
great. All right.
So that's her, and this is her poem, I Save My Love. I save my love for what is close, for the dog's eyes, the depths of brown when I take a wet cloth to them to wash his face. I save my love for the smell of coffee at the mill, the roasted near burn of it, especially the remnant that stays later in the fibers of my coat. I save my love for what stays. The white puff my breath makes when I stand at night on my doorstep. The mist doesn't last. That mist doesn't last. Evaporates like your car turning the corner. You at the wheel, waving. Your hand, a quick tremble and a brief illumination. Palm and fingers. Your face toward me. You had turned on the overhead light so I would see you for an instant. See you waving. See you gone.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's really lovely and very sad to me. Like, and I feel like you don't, like, it doesn't seem like it's going to be sort of sad until the very end. Because mm-hmm. she's saying, like, I save my love. And she's talking about these things that are lovely and little moments in life that she saves her love for. And then sort of get this sad thing at the end where it's someone who's leaving
mm-hmm.
and waving goodbye. But it's also, it's a sad that's like, I don't know, it's sort of like an aching sad, I feel like, because... Yeah. Like, it's this person is wants you to see them, like, waving and saying goodbye, and they want to see you clearly and mm-hmm. whatnot. But, yeah, so
it's like a long-distance relationship.
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, that's her poem. I just really, I don't know, I liked it a lot, and I liked sort of the setup of it and how you don't really necessarily expect the end. So that's Marjorie. And then my other poet is Gabrielle Bates.
I feel like I know that name.
Her poems and poetry comics appear in the New Yorker, New England Review, Black Warrior Review, and elsewhere. So, yeah, you may have seen her work, like, in the New Yorker, that sort of thing. She works for Open Books, a poem emporium. I don't know if that's an establishment or not. I didn't really look into it, but she works for
Open Books.
And then she also helps edit the Seattle Review, Poetry Northeast, Broadsided Press, and Bull City Press. She is formerly the managing editor of the Seattle Review and contributing editor for Poetry Northeast. She currently serves as a social media manager for Open Books Emporium. Which Emily is looking at right now. And she volunteers as a poetry mentor through the Adroit Teen Mentorship Program. I also did not look that up, but sounds interesting and it's really cool. Devoting your time to helping to spread poetry is always a worthwhile cause.
Absolutely.
She has a podcast as well. She co-hosts the Poet Salon podcast, a podcast where poets talk over drinks. They interview a poet each episode and ask them questions about poetry today. I liked the idea of the Poet Salon. It, like, sort of is playing on the idea of salons, like what they used to be, where just people would gather together and talk and intellectuals would share some of their work and thoughts and ideas and everything.
Right.
I thought that was fun.
The Open Books, a Poetry Emporium, has been open since 1995. It's a poetry-only shop specializing in new, used, and out-of-print poetry, as well as books about poetry. The store hosts author events and is open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., the first Sunday of the month, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Very cool. Is it in New York?
No, it's in Seattle, Washington.
Got it.
So for all of our East Coast, West Coast listeners in Seattle, if that's who you are,
go check them out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that again is all I have about her. There was not a lot of information, but and it's really interesting. So her poems, I didn't really know what a poetry comic was
until
I looked at her work. And definitely go, when you're looking her up, like, look at her poetry, because it's got, they have these really, really great illustrations with them and everything. So So that's definitely, I think, the best way to take in her poetry. But I also sort of, when I was reading this to myself, thought that the actual poetry within this, like the words of it, were really interesting. It's going to be very short, because it's like not as it's words and pictures. So, so yeah, this is from her poetry comic, In the Circus. In the circus, my job was roller skating through the slaughterhouse. But there are many spectacles of which I am capable. I can cross my ankles and uncross them, for instance. I can impersonate a wheel so well, people can't keep their eyes on my eyes.
Lovely.
And that is from In the Circus, one of her poetry comics. And I just thought it was like, I don't know the subject necessarily or like who it is that's saying this, but it's just so funny. Like, I can cross my ankles and uncross them, for instance, like something just right. So simple. Like, I can do that too, but it's just it just seems so whimsical and funny, especially when you're looking at it with the pictures.
Yeah.
And then I can impersonate a wheel so well, people can't keep their eyes on my eyes. I don't know. It's just, it makes me think too about life and feeling topsy-turvy and like not really being able to like fully see someone or that sort of thing.
Also just like reveling in the humanness of being able to like cross our ankles.
Yeah.
Or just like something.
Both of us have our ankles crossed right now.
But just doing things like that, like where you just sort of celebrate being average. And, like, being a human.
Right.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
That's so cute.
So, that is Gabrielle Bates. Definitely, like I said, look at her poetry.
Yeah, these...
Because it's really, really cool.
These images are, like...
Aren't they so really interesting?
Really, like, odd and weird.
Yeah.
And I like them.
Yeah.
Like, very weird.
Yeah.
But they work with the words and they enhance it for sure.
Right. So, yeah. That's
cool.
This week.
Love
it. We kept it short and sweet this week.
Absolutely. And we're just going to leave you wanting more, hopefully, for
next year.
2020, baby.
Crazy.
That's so insane.
It is.
I love it.
We're coming up on 1 year in March.
Yeah, in March.
Beginning of March.
Just about.
Wow.
And that's all thanks to you guys for listening and supporting us as you have for the past 9 months. We're just so grateful. As always, we want to give a special shout out to Zach Adkins for our intro and outro music. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we also would like to point out that in the bottom of the show notes of this episode, wherever you're listening, you'll see a link that will take you to a support page that you will let you donate as little as 99 cents a month.
It's the
dollar menu donations. It's the giving season. You know, if you're looking for something to get, Marguerite, 99 cents a month is an easy way to tell her that you love her.
That you appreciate my hours of editing.
Truly. I mean, it takes so long. The amount of work that goes into these things is not small. And so we are very grateful for those who are able to give us a little boost and show their support. Either through donations or by subscribing to our podcast or giving us a rating, especially on Apple Podcasts, giving us those 5 stars if you like it, or giving us a comment and telling us what your favorite part about it is, or what you want to hear us talk about next, or if you have any poets that we haven't touched on yet that you're like, oh, you know what, that's my favorite poet. I want you guys to read this one. We'd love to hear those kind of suggestions. So bring those to us too and tell us in the comments. And that's pretty much it.
That's all, folks.
Thank you so much for listening. And we hope you have a great holiday season.
Have a wonderful holiday. And we will see you in 2020.
2020, baby.
Woo!
Bye.